Part of the good news of the Bible over and over again is that God loves you. And that's really what we're thinking about this whole year, is the story of God's love. From the beginning we find in Genesis to the end in Revelation, this is a story about how God loves you and every other human being who has ever lived and ever will live. And we've already seen that we don't always deserve that love. Yeah, we've seen God's creation and his might in the first couple chapters of Genesis, but then last week we spent some time talking about the fact that the first two human beings, and really every one of us since then, except Jesus, have chosen over and over again to elevate what I want above what God wants. And so we make these choices that end up offending God, that separate us from God. We'll call them what they are. They are sin. And it isn't long before we see things begin to spiral even further out of control, and we're going to talk about that today in Genesis chapter 4. Now, one of the things that's almost always involved in sin is emotion, because our emotions are powerful. They can take control of us if we're not careful, and they can prompt us to do things that are very good and some things that are very bad as well. And the thing about emotions is they sometimes sort of surprise us. They raise up when we're not expecting it. It happens in all kinds of ways. I mean, there are times when we are surprised by the joy that we feel over something that's happened in a certain day, or the love that we feel for another person. And then there are other times when things like grief can shock us in the way that it rises up in our lives. Maybe you've experienced that, where you thought you'd worked through a season of grief, and then something happens. You're reminded by an object or something that takes place of someone you've lost, and that grief is just as present as it ever was. And that can sneak up on us in ways that we don't expect. I remember when Leanne's dad died. He was a great man that I loved and respected. And as part of his funeral service, I was supposed to read this letter that Leanne had written to him. And I can usually keep my emotions pretty well under control when I'm in front of a group, but I began that letter and I really didn't think I was going to make it through, because I was thinking of her and him and all those important relationships. Our emotions can surprise us. And sometimes it can be really negative emotions, right? There are times when things like anger can surprise us, and somebody says something, does something, and suddenly we are angry and we did not expect it. And the question then becomes, what will we do with our anger? And we're all a little different with anger, right? Some people sort of deal with it more than others. Some people deal with it in different ways. Sometimes the causes are different. Most of the time in our family, if I get angry, somebody says, we need to feed him, okay? Because that's often the problem. So different causes, but it can really surprise us. And the question is, what do we do with it? And that's really what Genesis chapter 4 is about. What do we do with anger? Because that's the primary emotion that's at work in this chapter. The story begins in Genesis chapter 4 with there's only two people on the face of the earth, Adam and Eve. And in Genesis chapter 3, they have chosen to eat of this tree that God said, you're not allowed to eat. And so there were consequences. God had said they would die if they ate of this tree. God had shown his grace and mercy. They didn't die in that moment, but they would face death much later. But they were cast out of the Garden of Eden, and they began to have to work for their food. But that's not the end of their story. It continues in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. Adam made love to his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. And the reason it's recorded that way is because the name Cain sounds a bit like the word for help in ancient Hebrew, so she associated that together. His name comes from the fact that God had helped her and that they had the first child ever born. This is the beginning of reproduction, that man could reproduce himself and would continue for generations. So it was a time of rejoicing. And then in Genesis chapter 4, verse 2, just like secondborns in lots of families, there's not as much fanfare about this one. Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel, and that's it, okay? Now, even there, we know that there's something that's just not exactly right about this, because the name Abel means something like a mist, a vapor, something that's not going to last very long. But the rest of verse 2, we find out a little bit more about these two brothers. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. So they grew up. They've chosen sort of how they're going to live their lives. They got to provide for themselves, and later on there would be families, and they're not in the Garden of Eden, so they can't just pick up fruit from the tree and eat whatever they want. They've got to raise their food. So Cain is the one who goes out and raises crops, and we know from Genesis 3 that it was going to be very hard work, still is, and we know that Abel sort of raises animals, and a lot of times in the ancient world they were used for milk and for wool and all kinds of things. So together, they're providing for themselves and their family. Now, what ancient people did when God provided was they worshiped, and we do the same thing now. Their worship was just different. They offered part of what they had back to God, and that's what Cain and Abel do, and we see this in verse 3. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, and Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. So the way they worship is to take something of what they have produced and you give it to God. And what that normally means is you take it to an altar and you burn it up. And if you burn it up, then you can't use it, right? So you are literally giving this to God and saying, I'm not going to use this portion of what God has blessed me with. All right, that's the way ancient people worship all the way up into New Testament times. Here's the result. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Literally, his face was down. So it raises a question. Okay, what was the difference, right? I mean, why was Abel's offering acceptable to God and Cain's was not? They both brought what they had produced to God. And I can remember early on in life some people saying, well, it's because Abel brought animals, that's what God said, and Cain brought, you know, fruit from the ground, and that's not what we see in the law. But in the law, it does give options for both. So I don't think that's it. I think it's in the way this is worded and in what it says about these two men and their relationship with God. Let's back up to verse 3. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. Now you see, if you produce anything, animals, something from the ground, whatever it is, money, whatever you've got, if you give the first part to God, it's a little more dangerous, isn't it? Because what if you don't get any more? What if there are no more animals born? What if the crop fails after the first part? So you see, giving the first of anything you produce is an act of trust. It says, I believe in this God who is providing for me, and I love this God so much that I'm going to give him the first and the best of what I have. Now, that's what Abel did. He gave the first and the fattest of what he had. Cain gave some. Now, that's not really defined, is it? We just know it's not the first like Abel. So maybe he took the first 50% of his crop, kept it for himself, then gave God a little bit after that, and kept the rest following that. We just don't know. But the point is, he is not taking that risk of trusting God and worshiping with the first of what God blessed him with. And I think that's the clear difference between these two sacrifices. It's not so much what was laid on the altar, it's what it said about their trust and their relationship with God. But what we do know is that Cain is not happy about this. I mean, there's clear jealousy that God had accepted his brother's sacrifice and not accepted his own sacrifice. And the way Genesis describes it is that he is very angry, so much that his face showed his anger. It was clear just by looking at Cain how mad he was. Now, let's go back to where we started. Our emotions can really sneak up on us, right? I mean, there are times we're just living life. We're going to work. We're having a regular, average day. And then something happens, and suddenly we are mad. Something happens. Somebody does something, maybe big, maybe small, but we're angry. And then we have a decision to make in that moment. What's next, right? I mean, there's a strong emotion there. What am I going to do with that emotion? Now, when Genesis says that Cain was very angry, it tells me that we're past that initial moment when God rejected his sacrifice, accepted Abel's, and Cain felt anger. It seems to me that we've gone further than that. And so Cain has stoked this anger. You know how we do that? We take whatever it is that made us mad, someone said something, did something, and we play it over and over in our heads, right? Again and again. And that emotion can sometimes get just a little bit more intense with every replaying of it in our heads. And my guess is that is exactly what Cain is doing. He is replaying that moment when God rejects his sacrifice and accepts Abel's. And his jealousy and his anger are going through this cycle of building and building within him. And then God confronts him with it. And this is really the key of this whole story. Verse 6, the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? Why is your face down?" Cain, let's talk about this. Why did this sacrifice and my reaction to it make you this angry? And then God gives him a choice and really attempts to reassure him. Verse 7, "If you do what is right, will you not be accepted?" In other words, if you do what's right, literally it says you're going to be lifted up. Your face is down, you'll be lifted. If you do what is right, we can fix all this. All is not lost. In your relationship with me, there can be acceptance. I can accept the right kind of sacrifice, but you just got to do it right, and then this whole thing is going to be fixed. But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. Your anger is so powerful that it is allowing sin to be like a wild animal standing outside your door. And if you go out, if you make the decision, it is going to eat you alive. This anger is so powerful that the sin that you would commit as a result of it is going to destroy your life and the lives of people around you. It's going to tear apart everything that matters to you. So you've got a choice. It's waiting to destroy you, but you must rule over it. You've got a choice to make. Most of you know the choice he made. "Now Cain said to his brother Abel, 'Let's go out into the field.' And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him." Scripture doesn't go into a lot of detail. It doesn't paint a gory scene. It just makes the clear point that we're only halfway through the fourth chapter of the Bible, and we've already got one person killing another person. In fact, it's not just that. We've got a family member killing another family member. That's how quickly human sin can spiral out of control. And here, because of anger. And then God comes to find out. It's very much like last week we talked about how God comes to the garden and he sort of says, "Adam, where are you?" As though God didn't know, but he's ready for this confrontation. Verse 9, "The Lord said to Cain, 'Where's your brother Abel?' And then in this reply that has echoed back through the centuries, 'I don't know,' he replied, 'am I my brother's keeper?'" How would I know where he is? I'm not in charge of him. He's not mine to deal with. Sort of like, well, you like his sacrifice, God, so much, you should know where he is, not me. Verse 10, the Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth. Everything about Cain's life changed because of this moment when he allowed his anger to get out of control. And because it's as if the ground had drunk his brother's blood, and now Cain is not going to be able to do what he's sort of set his life to do, which is to grow crops. It's going to be very difficult. In fact, he's going to be shifting from one place to another. And after this, Cain says, God, it's not even fair what you're doing to me. I can't survive this way. If I'm always moving around, somebody's going to kill me. And God says, listen, I'll protect you. But this is your life now. So what do we learn from this story of sin that has gotten completely out of control? I think we go back to this emotion that really led him there. And the lesson is this, that unchecked anger can own you. It can own any of us. Unchecked anger can take control of our lives and rob us of the things that matter most, the relationships that are most important to us. Even our living, like Cain, it can destroy us. Unchecked anger can own us, and we've got to make the decision. You see, God set the decision in front of Cain and said, okay, what are you going to do about this? And he chose to let that anger take control and destroy him. And we don't want to do that. But it can own any of us if we let it get out of control. So what are some practical things that we can do to keep anger from owning us and destroying the things that matter most to us? And I think the first thing is to recognize how strong emotion works in your life. Recognize how you deal with emotion. So look at the process. So next time you get angry, what happens next? Or maybe you can reflect on some anger that took place in this last week. What was the process? Did you sort of relive that moment? Did you play that film in your head again and again? Could you feel the emotion rising up within you and beginning to take control? And, you know, here's the thing. We don't have any record of this anyway. Abel didn't do anything to Cain, right? He just happened to do something that pleased God, and that made Cain jealous and therefore angry. And it might be that if you look at the cycle of your own anger, what you recognize is sometimes you don't even strike back at the people who caused it. You just strike back at the people who are closest, the people you love the most, the people you live with. And it's good for us to recognize what does anger look like in my life. I mean, remember the question that God asks Cain back in verse 6. Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? Examine your emotions. That's what God is saying to Cain. Look at what's going on inside you. Why do you feel this way? Why is it coming on this strong? And each one of us are very different. We have different genetic makeup, which affects this. We have different experiences, maybe with parents. We have all kinds of different relationships, and all of that affects how anger works in our lives. So it's good for us to think about it, because one of the first steps to dealing with that unchecked anger is to know how it works in my life, in my mind, in my person. And then second, we need to take it to God. Take those emotions, those strong emotions, to God. Here's the thing. God made us as emotional beings. Like, God created us with the ability to feel love and joy and excitement. God made us with the ability to feel pain. and jealousy and even anger. That doesn't mean all those things are just good and we can do whatever we want to with them. It's just that God knows this about you. God is not surprised when you get angry. I may be surprised when I get angry. I may be shocked that it comes on so quickly and so strong, but God's not. And so take this strong emotion to the God who made you and knows about this. In other words, pray about it. God wanted Cain to talk to him about this emotion. We have really no record that he did, but God made the first step and gave him the choice. And God can walk you through some of that emotion as well. And then finally, find constructive ways to deal with those negative emotions. So that might mean certainly praying to God, right? But it might mean talking to someone that you trust and who is wise, maybe someone in the room. Because sometimes what we need to deal with unchecked anger is to talk about it. As long as it's inside, it's continuing to build. We're continuing to replay that same film in our heads over and over again, and the emotion is just rising up. And sometimes it really can help us to talk about, you know, I'm angry, and this is why I'm angry, and this is what I'm feeling. And we may not like that. We may not like to even admit we're as angry as we are, because that feels like a defeat. But sometimes getting it out and talking about it with someone we trust, with someone who's wise, can help us defeat the anger. Sometimes talking to the person we're angry with can do that. Not going to them in anger to let them have it, but to go to them and say, okay, this is how this moment, these words, this action, this is how it's affecting me, and I want to work that out. Sometimes that's not possible. You might be angry with someone who left this life a long time ago because of something that happened decades ago. We can't always do that. Sometimes we need to put it on paper. There's all kinds of ways, but the point is we've got to seek those ways out so that we don't just allow the anger to build in us unchecked, because when we do, it can destroy us. It can own our very being. We're going to feel emotion. And sometimes that emotion will sneak up on us. Sometimes it will shock us. But it will be real. And the question for every single one of us will be this: what do you do next? Are you just going to keep replaying that event in your head so that emotion builds up within you? Or do something with it, so that it doesn't own you? We've all got that choice to make. Let's pray together. God, we've all dealt with this, and we bring our strong emotions to you and ask you to help us deal with them. And God, we give thanks that you love us, even though we know there are times we haven't dealt with this very well. God, we repent of this. We ask for the forgiveness that only comes through the power of Jesus. And God, we give thanks that you love us enough to love us through things like that. But God, help us to recognize that anger really can destroy the things that matter the most to us. And help us to deal with it. God, walk us through that. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and continue to worship.